serve it up till the whiskey run dry. You take your sugar and take your sweets.
And welcome, everybody, to the Lunacy Podcast. My name is Tony. I'm here with Dave and David. Dave Stevens, David Sterling. I am Tony Provenanzi. Connor Ennis is out tonight because he lost his voice cheering on the loons in the Wonderwall last night. So he needs a little break. Because he does have, you know, he does have his obligations to do his trivia stuff coming up here, and we don't have to have a lost voice for that. You know, that actually pays him money. This does not. We'll talk about that game in a little bit. Guys, there's a big event coming up tomorrow. You're probably aware. It's the solar eclipse. Now,
is there?
Solar eclipse. So they're saying now that tomorrow during the solar eclipse, some animals, nocturnal animals, might come out during that time because they think it's you know, nighttime. The governor of the state of, I think she's state of Arkansas. Is it Huckabee's daughter? She declared a state of emergency for the state for the solar eclipse, just in case things happen, you know, which it's going to be for like 3 minutes. I don't think anything's going to freaking happen, but whatever.
I wouldn't think so.
David, do you know what your percentage is down in Fort Myers? What's your percentage of the...
I think I heard it was supposed to be like 64 or 65%, something like that.
That's about what we're going to have, isn't it? In Minnesota, roughly 60 to 70, somewhere in there, I thought.
Something like that.
Did you know... I completely forgotten this. Maybe I was out of town or working or traveling or something, but the last time a solar eclipse appeared over U.S. skies was in 2017, I believe. Yeah. But the next one won't. I thought I saw the next one will not be for another 20 years. I thought something like that, but
something like that. Yeah, it's been.
They're not quite as rare as some people make them out to be.
Yeah, they happen. It is interesting. Depending on, yeah, they happen all the time, I suppose. Well, maybe not all the time, but it's just a matter of, okay, this one's going to happen over U.S. skies where we have a chance to see it.
And of course, all the conspiracy theories have come out. You know, theories have come out about the path of this and how the path of this lines up with a bunch of interesting places. And it's like, yeah, no, there's no conspiracy here. This happens. Yeah. It's science.
Did you see you can actually, like, I thought I got an email from Delta. Delta's offering a couple of flights that depart tomorrow, depart in Austin and then fly up to, I believe it's Detroit, and see more. And they're going to more or less follow the path of the eclipse in, you know, from 30,000 feet. That'd be pretty unique. I think they had one flight completely sold out and then set up another one to do the same flight path.
Here's my problem with that. I hope it's not a Boeing plane.
I didn't look into it that far.
During this eclipse, it probably fall apart or something like that. And be like, what are you going to do on the plane? I mean, it's going to be like pretty much nighttime on the plane then, right? I mean, that's for the whole ride.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather be sitting on the ground, like looking at it, you know, not looking at it directly, but, you know, just peeking at it. You guys heard the Yankees had to...
I did hear that.
Move back the start of their game because of the solar eclipse.
I'm fine. And it's a special. I think they were originally planning to have, you know, the eclipse game and like the first 15,000 fans, you know, get a special eclipse t-shirt, you know, Yankees.
Yeah, they're still doing that.
Which, yeah, I mean, and then again, yeah, I think people are overthinking this a little bit. You know, I think the reason they pushed it back was because they're worried that if something happened,
also, I think it has a lot to do with we're allowing ourselves to think Americans are stupider than we think they are, because it's like it's this thing where, for instance, for school, none of the kids are going outside tomorrow, and for pickup, it's considered rainy day pickup because it's happening during that time. And so the parents have to actually go to the door of the school to pick up their kids. And it's like, everything I'm seeing is that I've seen multiple notices. Oh, you know, avoid going outside because you don't want to look at the sun. It's like, really? Like,
I mean,
people don't look at the sun. Like, right, we know well, it's.
And that's what that was. I was having this kind of, and I get it. I mean, I get it. But I mean, it's like it would be worse to look at the sun on a normal day when it's not 60 to 80% covered. But yes, I get it. There, people are going to look because it's really unusual.
Yeah.
But
I think that's why the Yankees changed it, because they're afraid that there are going to be 30. Well, I don't know how many ever thousand fans staring at the sun when they're going to just burn their retinas and they'll be blind for a couple hours.
What the Yankees should have done, now if I were them and are doing this game during it, I would have given out free those glasses for free as you came in the door. And then during the game, when it happened, they stopped the game and pause it for the 3 or 4 minutes that it happens, and everybody enjoys it, and then you go back to baseball. How hard is that?
Right.
You know? I mean,
I think it's just becoming the ultimate nanny state at this point.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
everybody's so worried that we're going to stand and stare at the sun for 5 minutes.
Well,
I feel like every year there is a story. Of course there is, but you know, there's always a story that somebody burned their retinas and
he didn't
burn his retinas every day down here, I'm sure.
Now there's a story that, you know, there's the funny story is there's somebody who did look at this directly at the sun who didn't burn his retinas, but he was also the former president of the United States the last time we had this come through
in 2017.
And there's pictures of him like looking up. Like, hey, what's here we go, there.
I mean, that's him. I mean, he's an exception to everything.
The security detail, they're like, no, Mr. President, don't do it. Don't do it. No, don't do it. So, but yeah, so this is coming up tomorrow. It should be interesting. I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of car crashes. It's going to be a lot of, people are going to die. This whole thing,
and then here, I mean, in Minnesota, I'm fairly certain it's going to be overcast for the whole
thing. It'll just get really dark.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be like, okay, great. And then you got people
I think
like
we're supposed to be partly cloudy, so we may not even see it.
And you got people up in Alaska who are going like, yeah, you know, we have like the 24 hours of daylight and 24 hours of nighttime, so this is like nothing for us, really. Yeah. Like, we don't give a shit. You know, so. Yeah. What else is going on? We, like we said on the podcast last week, Dave and I and Connor did make it up to Heavy Rotation Brewing for their second year anniversary on Friday night. And we enjoyed some beers. We sat outside for a little bit, listened to some music, and had a good time. There wasn't as many people as I thought there would be on Friday night, but I guess Saturday from the pictures, it looks like it was packed on Saturday. Because they had a whole day thing going on. So, yeah, it was a good time getting up there and hanging out. And, then Saturday we all had lunch at Lookout Bar and Grill in Maple Grove, which was nice. Hadn't been in there for a while. And it was Connor's birthday on Saturday, and he's not here to wish him a happy birthday, but he did turn 35 years old. He had a good day yesterday. Lunch, just you know, kid went swimming. He's just a kid.
Young buck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That was good. Dave, you went out to Turtle Lake yesterday. You were in Scone yesterday
night. I was in Wisconsin, yes. The beautiful state of Wisconsin. I left, Nels and I, we left immediately after our lunch in Maple Grove and drove out to Turtle Lake, Wisconsin for what's turned into, not necessarily a Turtle Lake, but we have an annual fantasy football party where the loser of our particular league needs to host the end of the year party. And we've for the last few years scheduled it during this March Madness time. And so we went out there specifically because, like Iowa, Wisconsin also allows sports betting and have, you know, sports books at in there. And I hadn't been to Turtle Lake. I hadn't been to that casino in probably I think it was about 15 years. So it was nice to get back there. It's a small casino, but sports books really nice. And friendly place.
Oh, nice. David, you've been gone for the last, I don't know how many weeks.
I think it was just two.
Dave went to Disney World. You went to the beach. Where your in-laws were in town, wasn't it?
Yeah, my in-laws are in town for I think 5 weeks.
Holy
Oh
shit, dude.
wow. And
Wow.
they left on Wednesday, yeah. I don't really remember last weekend. I feel like I might have blown you guys off.
I think you
Honestly.
did. That's what it sounded like. And we were joking. I think if the Loons had won the game last week, I think, maybe you would have been on. But I felt like after the loss, you're kind of just like, nah, can't do it.
Yeah,
Fuck
because
it.
I didn't get to watch the game because,
Oh, that's one
yeah,
reason.
we went to the beach. And then I realized what happened in the game, and I was like, there's no way in hell I'm watching this. And so I kind of skimmed through to get some a feel for the match, and then I might have just blown you guys off. I
I'll
can't
tell you.
recall if there was
Yeah.
a real reason for me
I'll
not
tell you
being on.
what, and we're not going to talk about the game, but I'll tell you what, if you were going to have to miss a game or two this year, like most people probably will, you certainly picked a, without knowing it, maybe beforehand, you picked a good one to miss, really, because that was
Yeah.
a pretty flat, boring game, certainly. So,
Yeah. Very,
and
very.
a bad result, of course.
It was not a great game to talk about anyways, but we just muddled through it like we always do. Guys, it's Sunday night. We are drinking, I hope. I'll go first because I think I have a new brewery, but Connor's not here to tell me if I have a new brewery or not. And technically it's not from Minnesota, but I'm gonna say it's kind of from Minnesota because it's on right on the border. It is from Half Brothers Brewing Company in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Now there's Grand Forks and there's East Grand Forks. So they're right on the border there. So technically it's well, I call it local.
Oh, for sure.
Well, and they're
It
Loons
is,
fans up there, so
and they're Loons fans up there. Now,
yeah,
guys, this is why I picked it.
better.
This is a long name for a beer. The Pink Fluffy Unicorns Dancing on Rainbows. And you can see
Goodness.
there's the can
Wow.
there. If I get it there. Yeah. So this is an ale brewed with lemons, blueberries, and lactose sugar.
Oof.
They call this a fruited lemonade sour ale. And boys, I will tell you, this is pretty damn good. Now,
Sounds refreshing.
I'm a big fan of sour beers, and some sour beers come off very sour and sweet, and you can have one and you're done with it. This one here, that's got the right balance here. This is like not too sweet, just get enough of it. So it tastes like you're drinking a little bit of a lemonade with a beer, and that sweetness is in there, but it's not overpowering, and you can drink it. It is fantastic. It comes in at 6%. You get the blueberries, you get the lemons in it. It's a great beer. I can't say any more about that. And if it wasn't Sunday night, I'd probably have like two or three more of these, but I'm gonna cut myself off after just one of these. So, but yeah, from again, Half Brothers up in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Hopefully it's a new brewery. I don't know if it is, but we'll find out.
I would
I feel like
say
it is.
most likely. I would say I'm 98% confident that, that is a new brewery, so exciting.
Yeah, and I did. I picked it up, of course, from my local liquor store, Napa Valley Liquors. I also picked up a Indeeds version. I don't know what it's called, but it is a THC slash CBD drink. That it's 10 of THC and 10 of CBD. So I'm gonna try that out and see if that works. Interested to see if I had a five, I think I told you guys I had a fiver of that trail mix one from I think it's from Minneapolis Cider Company. And that really didn't like do anything for me. But reading up on it, maybe I have some sort of like I need more than that, probably. So we'll see. We'll try it out sometime.
Yeah,
All right.
I think this has to be a new brewery for us because I think the only North Dakota brewery that we've had before is Drekker. So
All
I
right.
think this is a new one.
And
Nice.
I've never actually worked in North Dakota, so I've never done a pod from North Dakota where I would have needed to run out and get a North Dakotan beer. But yeah, it is.
So I'm guessing that it is then. Fantastic. David, what do you got from the land of Florida tonight?
Yeah, so I don't have a new brewery. I have definitely had this one, which is Hidden Springs Ale Works, on before. But this is a new beer, and this is called Bear Lasers.
Your laser. Oh my God.
Literally just a bear with lasers coming out of its eyes.
Laser beams. Yeah, watch out.
Awesome.
I'm not sure the story behind it, but it is a West Coast IPA, which I don't actually drink a lot of West Coast IPAs, so that's a bit of a change for me. And it's brewed with Citra, Strata, and Mosaic hops, and it's a 6.7 ABV. I do not have the IBU. It's pretty, it's got to be moderately high. I like it. Like I said, I'm not a big drinker of West Coast IPAs. A lot of times they get a little bit too piney and bitey for me. But this one's, relatively smooth. It's got a good heavy hop character, but it's not anything over the top. I've yet to have anything bad from Hidden Springs. It's a good Tampa brewery that puts out some decent beers. So,
Nice.
yeah, it's solid drink.
Is that one of the breweries you have been to or not?
I have
Up
not
in
been to
Tampa.
Hidden Springs.
Up in Tampa,
No,
yeah, a little further away.
it is on my list. I have a list of about 30 breweries that I need to visit in the next week and
And I
a half.
suppose after you move,
Jeez.
yeah, you'll be closer to that location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Giddy up. You should really do like a road trip around Florida and get some other breweries, like a whole week. I'm just kidding. Don't.
I fully support that idea.
Okay, go for
My better half may not support that idea, but I do 100%.
Man. I don't know when it came up in conversation. I don't remember. It was Dave, were you around? Let's talk. We were talking about when you road tripped down to Atlanta. And then you tripped back
Oh,
and you
yeah.
stopped at all those different distilleries
Yeah, right. Yeah.
and picked up. How much did you spend? Like, was it in the hundreds of dollars?
I want to say it was 750, I think.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow. Yeah, we
Yeah.
had the under. We had the under on
Yeah,
that. And
I thought
also
it was like
wondering,
500.
yeah, and I was also wondering how long you spent getting back when you did that. Was it several
Well,
days?
I spent 2.5 days in Kentucky.
That's yeah, okay. That's double what I thought.
And two of those days were drinking whiskey, so
Nice.
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I mean, I had a nice direct flight, but and got home quick. But that sounded like a great idea at the time.
Yeah,
So,
dude. I mean, that's again that if you can do that, go for it. And you got, I think you got some really whiskeys you could only get by purchasing them at the
yeah,
distillery, right? Yeah.
and it. That was the whole point of that trip, was I wanted to get whiskey. Well, I guess I wanted to visit distilleries, but I wanted to bring home whiskeys that I could not get in Wisconsin or Minnesota. So I
Yeah.
had stopped at a number of liquor stores and bought some stuff that was Kentucky or Southern Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky
Sure.
distribution. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Nice. Yeah, so road tripping for beverages is not a, not a bad thing. Go for it. Go for it when you can. Dave, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I do not have a new brewery myself and not a new beer either, so I can keep it relatively short, but it is a favorite that I haven't had in too long. We recorded a podcast from the brewery. It's Inbound Brewing in Minneapolis. Of course, not too far from the Twin Stadium. Nice brewery. Haven't been there in too long either, I feel. I've always liked that brewery. Every time we've been in there, especially when we did the podcast, that was a lot of fun. I've toured. I've got a little. I think it was. I don't even know what the app is, but at the time, this is years ago now. But I, toured the brewery. It was kind of fun. But I went with their classic that they've had probably since they opened. Contains Bees, and that's their peanut butter honey blonde. If you haven't tried it, I've obviously had it. Not, it's been a while. So when I saw it, I like didn't need to twist my arm. Went with it. If you're not familiar with it, it's, you know, it's a blonde ale, but it's got that peanut butter and honey flavor. And what they, you know, what they kind of like to promote about it is the honey is sourced and produced by Minnesota bees. So it is really refreshing. Yeah, it's not, it's sweet, I'm not going to lie, but it's not overpowering. But I mean, peanut butter and honey, you know, you can't go wrong with that in a blonde ale. Really refreshing. It's not too strong. It's only 5.2%. 15 IBUs, of course, not bitter at all. And yeah, just a delicious, easy drinking beer.
Well, fantastic. And that's another brewery I haven't been to in like forever.
Yeah. It's been, holy even shit. Me, it's been too long, and it's a great brewery, and it's right. Yeah. It's not far from the Twin Stadium. Tony, we're talking about going to a Twins game in this week. You never know. We could think about it then. So
we could. I don't know what time they open on Wednesday though.
Yeah, we'd have to look into that, but maybe post game or something.
Post game, sure.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one thing that I miss about the Minnesota beers that you guys have on is, you know, I left Minnesota, you know, really during COVID, so I haven't been to really any of these breweries in now 3.5 years or more, because
been a while.
More like 4 years.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. When did you move? Was it 2020 or 2021?
It was 21.
21.
So, okay. Like, the breweries had just started opening over the previous handful of months.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it was like, and they had weird hours, and some were just open for, you know, takeout. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's really been, aside from, what did we did Alloy, right? Was it Alloy that we went to in July of 21?
Was for our 50th, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
I think so.
Or maybe I'm mixing up the episodes, but yeah.
So, I think that one. And then I had gone to Forgotten Star right before I moved. And then
we went to
Elm Creek. So those three were the last ones I went to. And everything else, like Inbound, I love Inbound. I mean, I think the Inbound I hadn't been to since probably 2019.
That might have been when we did the podcast there.
Yeah.
2019.
And you haven't even been to the new Ire yet. I mean, you were at the old Ire like twice, once. And then when you moved, that's when they moved in their new space.
Yeah, it's Ire night and day. Good mention. Yeah, actually, I'm glad you brought up COVID, because Inbound was, I kind of went, you know, stir crazy during COVID, and I would look for excuses to like just go for a drive or go do something. And Inbound was, I believe Inbound was one of, you know, there was several, there's quite a few that offered like you mentioned it, to go beers or crowlers. They're offering specials. So yeah, I remember specifically during the early days of COVID, you know, whether it was April or something like that of 2020, where I drove down to specifically to Inbound just to, you know, pick up a to-go order. And I'm glad I did, you know, as a way to support our brewery. So
I remember I did that.
I went to Forgotten Star all the time to do that, because they had takeout almost immediately. Yep. And
Omni did too. And Omni had the same thing. Omni'd set up your order online, and then you say when you're going to get there. And then there was a line kind of, you know, they kind of stacked a bunch of shit. So you'd stay in this one little line.
Get
your shit, and then you went right back out. They're like, can't stand here. Sorry. See you later. Bye-bye.
Yep.
All the good old days, boys. COVID.
Yep. Can't believe it's fun 4 times. Years ago. Wow.
Yeah. It's been fun. Good times. Yep. Speaking of more good times, guys, we had a game last night, but we're going to that game. We should mention the Deuce. MNUFC 2 did lose in the U.S. Open Cup to the Michigan Stars 2-0. At Allianz Field, I'm trying to look up attendance, like how many people, like they don't show those stats.
I'm not kidding. And first of all, we should mention the game was basically unwatchable for a majority of the first half. I shouldn't say that, but it wasn't obvious. And Tony, I think you mentioned why it wasn't a searchable YouTube link, but I believe it was, I saw it because thanks to MNUFC News of Twitter reposted a link that somebody had found somehow. I think he found the guy. I wish I had his name, but I think he found it on the MLS.com website, MLSsoccer.com, with that post out the links. But it was, the camera's on like a typical broadcast, but it looked like there was maybe 35 people in Wonderwall. Mm-hmm. And as far as I could tell, that was it.
Johnny's kid was there.
Yeah, that's true. Caden, mm-hmm. Shout out.
Was you know, there. Yeah, you know, I saw a video clip, like very short clip from the Wonderwall, and it showed the TV side. And there was, a reasonable number of people. By that, I probably mean 200 people. Mm. I was impressed by the number of people that I saw, because I figured, no one's giving any attention whatsoever to US Open Cup. So I think anybody that shows up at these matches, deserves a round of applause.
And I suppose a lot of the premium seating on the, I guess if you want to call it the home side or the press box side of the stadium, maybe that's where most people were sitting anyways. But, it was a Tuesday night. The weather wasn't great. It wasn't raining or anything, but it was cool. 40 something degrees on a Tuesday night. And, it's a game that I had mentioned on this pod that I wanted to attend, but, ultimately I didn't. I couldn't, thanks to work. But yeah. So yeah, shout out to the people that went. Unfortunate result. Yeah. It's a game that I think Minnesota United 2 deserved to win. They were the better team for pretty much the whole game. And, the goal to lose 2-0 was really, really disappointing not to be able to find a goal or finish.
And I truly believe they should have played up in Blaine, to tell you the truth. Put it in Blaine, make it a big event, pack the damn stadium, make it like it was back in the day.
Throwback.
Right? Make it a throwback, right?
For sure.
Have some fun. Cheap tickets. People are going to drive up there. Have a good time. You put it in at Allianz Field, I get it. It's our big soccer stadium, for everybody, but it seems like it was too big of a stadium for what was going on. Now, if they made it further, put it in Allianz Field, but have these games up back in Blaine,
Yeah, and the only flip side to that is, that I'm sure the Deuce and the Michigan Stars, I'm sure they appreciated playing in that venue.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I'm sure they did.
On the pitch quality and everything like that. Because you see on some of these, especially first, second round U.S. Open Cup matches, you see some fields that are subpar. So,
yeah. Well, what was that field in Detroit? Year or the year before? Oh, my God, that was like a train yard, pretty much, is where it was. I don't even know. Right. It was ridiculous, right? But Blaine's not bad.
No. Well, it's nice artificial stadium now, isn't it? Isn't it turf now?
I think it's turf now. Yeah.
I could be wrong. Yeah. We went there, Tony. We went there last year, didn't we? I think it is turf, though. I could be wrong, but I feel like it might be.
Yeah, my point is, bring it back in the day when everybody went there, had a good time, stood behind the goal and yelled at the opposing goalkeeper in his native language like I used to. That type of stuff, right? That's fun. That was a fun time, I just think when you go to Allianz Field and you have games like this at Allianz Field, it kind of like takes that the smallness out of it, like the old school, and I get it. It's a business and I understand, but I feel like an old guy waving my fist at the clouds right now, bring back to the old school. Burr. So anyways, a tough loss for them, but US Open Cup. Everybody has their own opinions about this whole situation, but we won't get into that today. We will get into the game from last night, the Loons playing against RSL here at Allianz Field. We did have a little bit of a different lineup. Caden Clark was on the bench, and Bongi got the start up top, along with Pookie and Sangbin.
Yeah, I think that's what we were asking for, I believe, last week. And I think there was other people on Twitter that were predicting that exact, that lineup more.
I mean, that needed to happen based on, what I saw of Clark. The reality is, Bongi, I think even at his low point, is a better option than Caden Clark. No offense to Caden Clark.
Watch your tongue.
But
it's, I mean, Caden Clark, I think has shown his promise. I think he's been up and down. He's just been too inconsistent. Although, of course, Bongi, like you were hinting at, David, has been up and down as well. But I think the only thing you could have questioned, you know, whether he'd be better off playing, you know, in that left, which he was, left wing or right wing position. But, you know, obviously over the year, last year, he played more on the right, but we all knew he could and has played on the left side. So yeah, I think it was looking at the lineup, I was pretty happy with it. I know there was also conversation about, you know, would we see, you know, Padel Ford, you know, playing center back again, you know, due to Tapias's injury, which he did.
And that was the right choice. I'll say that.
Probably.
He has done a pretty decent job at center back. We'll get into that a little bit.
And it was almost laughable after, in a bad way, that, you know, Victor Eriksson, his debut for the first team as in an MLS match, I should say, he played against St. Patrick's, but did speaking not go of, well, to say the least. So,
speaking of Eriksson right now, well, let's make a comment. Blake put on Twitter, I think it was today, put on Twitter saying, well, does that mean Victor Eriksson is going to be loaned out somewhere? Or is he gone now? Because he came in for, what, 10 minutes last week and then didn't see the pitch this week? I mean,
yeah, it's not a good sign, really. I mean, and we talked about him before the season started only because this team, you know, they made a number of, you know, acquisitions, but it was arguably maybe the biggest acquisition. But again, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't a huge move. But yeah, it's disappointing that he hasn't found his way onto the, you know, the pitch too long. But I don't know if
And based on that performance, I don't think he's going to see much action. And it, to Blake's point, I think he needs to be loaned out. I mean, and maybe it just needs to be sent down to the Dukes.
I agree. I think it was also Blake's comment. I forget when he said this, but, you know, he made the point of, I think it was like Thursday or Friday when we were talking about potential starting lineups. And I think he made the point, well, you know, maybe I think we need to see Victor Eriksson to know what we have in the guy. But clearly it's not a good sign when, I mean, that you can make the case for that, but it's not a good sign when he can't get on, you know, even with a Tapias injury and a Padel Ford, you know, although he played center back for the Deuce back a couple of years now. So they clearly like Padel Ford better. So.
And then you got Bacharach who's sitting there too. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And speaking, and that was nice. That was one of the nice things that I appreciated, not the outcome of course, but watching the Deuce on Tuesday night, last Tuesday. He's that Bacharach. He's a big guy. He's a big guy. Mm-hmm. He didn't stand other than standing out as the fact that he's big and you can't miss him when you're watching the game. But I don't, you know, he didn't necessarily jump off the, you know, he didn't have the strongest performance, but he certainly wasn't the reason they lost. So that could be an option, and we'll get into it, but maybe Eriksson will be starting next weekend. We'll see if he's needed. You know what I mean? But we'll see.
Yeah, that's a good little foreshadowing. Little foreshadowing by David. Again.
Yeah, exactly. I love doing that.
This game starts off, guys. I don't know. I watching this game in the beginning, I didn't see a lot of anything, really. I didn't see us trying anything. I saw RSL was doing some stuff. We weren't really doing anything. We had some shots on goal, but they were, you know, the expected goal was stupid. It was under 5%. I really didn't see anything from us in the first 15 minutes. Did you guys see anything from us in the first? I mean, I really didn't.
No, you know, it was a lot of, you know, I believe in the first 15, 20, we actually might've had possession, or we were pretty close to even possession, but it just seemed like when we actually held possession, it was a lot of passing around. You know, we'd maybe get
meaningless.
It wasn't anything progressive. We were mainly just trying to maintain possession. And, you know, what's the point of maintaining possession if you're not going to take a decent shot?
And full disclosure.
And, you know, I think that's what I saw. It was flat. It was uncreative. It was just kind of, trying to keep the ball away from them, I guess.
Yeah, and full disclosure, I didn't watch the game, so I'll let you guys handle most of the commentary on this game. But yeah, I'm just looking at the passing network. I watched the highlights, of course, but looking at the passing network, it looks like, you know, as far as a percentage goes, I don't have the overall number in front of me. I will in a moment, but it looks like a lot of the players, you know, passing was good as far as a percentage, but it wasn't, like David, like you mentioned, it wasn't progressive. It was middle of the field, like high percentage passes, short passes in the middle of the field that just weren't resulting in anything dangerous.
It was very,
I mean, that's exactly correct. I think, you know, looking at when I was looking at the stats earlier, it was nearly 200 passes were short. And I believe short by definition is under 10 yards. And then nearly the same was medium, which I think is up to 20 yards, I think. But like the progressive passing or progressive distribution, I guess would be a better way of putting it. It just wasn't happening. The only people who were putting out that progressive pass were, say, Will Trapp. Devin was doing a bunch of progressive passing. Michael Boxel was. DJ Taylor. Obviously DSC, because all his passes are progressive. But so it was just defensive players, really, that were having any meaningful passing, because they pretty much have to based on their positioning.
Let me ask you this. I don't know if it was in the first 15 minutes or so, but it looks like, I mean, clearly most of the passing, effective passing that was even starting to come in onto RSL's side was happening on the right side, as opposed to, that's what it looks like when I'm looking at the network. Yeah,
I feel like that's accurate. Yeah. All the, it seemed like RSL's attack was coming down their right side, our left side.
Yeah.
And our attack was going up the right side.
Because as long as we're talking about it, Bongi Halongway, looking at the numbers, he was 9 of 20, 45% passing. And looking at the network, he looks like he was almost a non-factor in the game. Is that true or not?
He was. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was saying he should be the first sub, because he just wasn't doing anything. You know, and I don't know that Connor liked my response about that foul. But to me, I felt like, or non-foul, I should say. To me, I felt like that goal came off of his laziness. Like, I just don't feel like he was doing anything. He was kind of there. He had a couple moments. I don't want to say he didn't do anything, but he had a couple moments where he got down into the box and he attempted to do something, but he lost possession almost every time he touched it. I don't recall how many shots he actually took. But it was just, he was very much a non-factor, but he was not the only one that was a non-factor. Yeah. There were a couple other players in the attack that did nothing.
And since I brought it up, I'll just spit it out here. For the game, possession actually was 54-46 in Minnesota's favor.
Yeah.
Passing accuracy was 82% for Minnesota compared to 77% for
which and expected goals were in our favor too.
Yes.
Minnesota
saw that.
And Minnesota got better possession wise in the second half. We'll talk about that. The other thing from the first half, David, I think you and I were back on text, was that Rosales was getting way far up on the pitch. And I don't know if that was a scheme thing. What I was looking at, I was going to ask you this last night on text. It looked like Taylor was back further. Rosales was up. So they were almost playing like a three-back defense with a midfielder or two to kind of cover for Rosales.
You know, I didn't notice that about Taylor.
Taylor did not look like he was getting up at all. I mean, there were some points where he was, but I didn't notice him up on the attack as much as Rosales.
If you look at it though, I mean, and again, I'm going to ask you these guys these questions, because looking at the network, it looks like there was a lot of Taylor's action up the right side. But I mean, it's just
not as far up as Rosales, though.
Rosales a lot of times was inside the box.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, and the network, the passing network does show that actually some of his passes he didn't have nearly. I shouldn't say nearly as much, but he didn't have as much. But yeah, you can see his passes, even in some of his completed progressive passes, look a little more effective than, say, Taylor. That is true, actually, Tony.
Yeah, you know, and I like to see that. I think Rosales, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously he's a natural winger. Right. And he does fairly well. I had mentioned around that same time that we needed to watch what RSL was going to do there, because they were slowly starting to expose. It was slowly starting to pick on Rosales' side, because he was leaving that end exposed. It was a situation caused by whatever tactic we were doing. But the thing is Rosales is good going forward. So you want to see that, especially with Bongi being so flat.
What I would see a lot of the times when that happened is Paddleford would switch kind of over to that side a little bit. And you try to have your midfielders, your Traps and your Dotsons cover a little bit as well. So I was thinking to myself, I'm like, this must be planned. This must be a Ramsey thing to get Rosales in the attack, because he was actually doing some pretty good stuff in the attack.
He was.
Which we'll get to, and was much needed. But it killed us, sort of, on the first goal from RSL, because, you know, coming down that wing, that's where Gomez was. And I thought Rosales had a pretty good defense on him at that point. Gomez made one move to get a little separation and then crossed it in. And there's Arango right in front of the net with a header, and that's that, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to pin that. Well, it's hard to pin that assist on Rosales. I think Gomez just did a really damn good job. Yeah. You know, he got that one last step
mm-hmm.
right at the line, and that's hard to defend. I mean, he's a quality player, so you don't want to take anything away from that. And so for me, I think Rosales did everything he was supposed to do there. And quite frankly, the attacker got the slightly better, got the last lap, I guess. For me, I thought Rosales was in the running for man of the match in my mm-hmm. in my book for most of the game. Even after the red card, I wasn't going to discount him.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of gave that away. But you know, it's I think anything that we want to talk about in terms of that RSL goal comes on Arango's header. Because I don't feel like we did a very good job at closing down space on trying to get any line on that pass back. It's almost like we were flat-footed and were surprised that pass got off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen the replay now quite a few times, and good point, David. I think I like what I'm watching the replay. I like Rosales' effort there, actually. Yeah. You know, he's max effort. You know, somehow he got that cross in. You said it perfectly. I couldn't word it better. I mean, the effort in that cross was tremendous. I mean, Rosales was doing everything he could to prevent it. Heck, he almost did. He almost, you know, forced it out probably for a goal kick. And then I think the only thing you'd say is, you know, Minnesota didn't have the numbers, and probably maybe should have had the numbers, you know, when the cross came in, and just kind of was just wide open, too much space.
What David is saying about this is completely true. And it happens a lot. It happens in soccer, and it happens in the NBA a lot, where you got a guy defending another guy.
And global soccer
and
match history live on MLS season pass.
He thinks that
we got some audio. Hopefully we don't get a copyright infringement or something like that.
But no, in the NBA, you see it all the time, is you got one guy covering another guy, and it's one-on-one, and everybody just stands flat-footed, right? And just looks at what's going on. And then all of a sudden, you get an offensive guy, like, make a little juke to the net, and the defender's flat-footed because he's watching the other defense try to get this guy, and that's what happens, right? Yep. See it happen all the time. And that's, I think, what happened in this play. So.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because usually on in situations like this where there's a interception not quite midfield, it throws off everybody because you're going that direction and it's cut short, and now everybody has to pull themselves together, recover, and get back. In this situation, it was almost like we were behind. I mean, we were playing behind the ball. And so our entire defense was pretty much where it needed to be when this corner or this cross, was sent back in by Gomez. The problem was, like, I froze it at 23:44 and literally four of our defenders are literally flat-footed. They're standing there watching this cross go back across into the box. Mm-hmm. And it...
Like they thought it went out. They thought it was out. I mean, which it nearly, very nearly was, but...
And no one's watching... No one's really watching a Rhino come in behind, I believe that's Will Trapp.
He slips in.
And he's just completely unmarked.
Yep, he slips in. Again, it's the same thing. You're watching the defender defend one guy, and you're not watching what's going on in the rest of the spot because you think he's got him locked up. And
I'd say Dotson had a good view of it, but I don't think he could have gotten the position to mark him, but he certainly had a good view. I'll say that. But
had Dotson done anything, it would have ended up being a penalty. I just think. Ultimately, that was a fantastic cross.
Yes.
Fantastic effort, fantastic cross that caught our defense off guard. And now we could talk about the front end, right? There's the question of whether there was a foul there on Bongi. I just don't think there is. Like I told Connor, I felt like, and I forget who the defender or the RSL player was now. I just felt like he honestly had a better line on the play. I felt Bongi was being a little lazy. He just caught his shoulder and Bongi kind of spun around and fell. I don't really see a whole lot of anything in it. And of course, being a goal, they reviewed that and they felt the same. So, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And we'll talk about the refs coming up because they did have a part in this game at the end. But we do go into the half down one, which sucked. And we came out of the half, and I think I talked about this in a text. We started tilting the pitch a bit in the second half, and it became apparent that we were on the front foot for the second half. Now, was it enough to get us a goal or two? Well, yeah, but we still had problems. And David, going back and forth with you on text, we still have problems with the whole passing without doing anything. You know, there were times where we looked like we had everything set up and we were good to go. And there are other times where we just sat there and like, okay, well, what the fuck do we do now? You know, Well, let's pass back. Let's pass. There was a lot of backwards passing all the way back to DSC. They're like, what the fuck did you guys do here? Do you guys have nothing set up? What the hell's going on? You know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch.
Interesting about DSC, and I could be wrong about this, but it looks like he had one of his better nights, actually, with regards to, you know, progressive passing. But, you know, most, and maybe it was a good thing that most of his passes were short, you know, completed yet short. But maybe you should stick with that, because I know he's had an issue this year with his, you know, long distribution, for lack of a better word. But
right. Yeah. You know, so here's a number. Minnesota attempted 570 passes in the match, and 121 of those passes, so a fifth of those passes, were Michael Boxall and Devin Pettenberg.
Yeah.
A fifth of our passes were our two center backs.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, make it worse, they only had five progressive passes between the two of them. So that's really bad. In my opinion, if you want to take like a 30,000 foot analysis of this game and just look at passing, the fact that a fifth of our passes were our center backs and 97% of them weren't progressive, that's not good news.
It reminds me of that classic Simpsons meme that's passes it. Isn't it something like that? He passes it back. And it goes there for like 45 minutes. What the fuck? 45 minutes of the game is just pass it. And then they switch to the Spanish broadcast and they're just going nuts. Like,
that's... I don't know. Well, they're going crazy about it. Yeah. I did forget to mention at the half that Braun came in for Dotson at that point.
Yep.
And we heard on the broadcast, the commentators were saying that it seemed like Dotson and Trapp were kind of playing in the same area, which if you go back and look, there were some times it was like, it reminded me of my kid when she used to play soccer when she was younger. They'd all bunch up together. And I was like, what are you all doing there?
That's really interesting, because at least in the last few weeks, that's an early sub, you know, non-injury related sub, I'm assuming. And it's early for this club, I guess.
Well,
yeah, you know, I think it's really kind of brings up weird tactics, right? Because we're obviously in a 4-3-3, but it's almost like we're playing in a 4-2-2-1.
Yeah.
Which maybe is a 4-4-2, actually. But it's strange. And, you know, and then, of course, you throw in Rosales and how he's playing up. It's almost like it's a 3-5-3-6-1. It's almost like a Christmas tree, actually. Now that I think about it. Because I guess with Sang Bin and Bongi playing a little bit behind Pookie, it more is a Christmas tree, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's weird. It was weird. Like all the tactics were really, really weird. I hadn't paid close enough attention to seeing Dotson and Trapp playing in the same area. But I guess it kind of felt that way, I guess. Because Lud was obviously playing more advanced than either of those two. It's weird. I hate the 4-3-3. Did I ever say that?
You said it before. It just reminded me of the kids, and they're all kicking the ball and they're on a big circle and they're going, meh, 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 meh. It's like, no, somebody split up. Let's go get somewhere else.
Yeah.
But we did have, again, Minnesota had tilted the pitch again towards our goal. And we looked like we had some things going on. We had a great, I think it was, I don't know what minute this happened. I think we texted. St. Ben had a great run up the side where he turned on.
Is it the one like, that, the afterburners?
He is turned on that afterburners. That was like ridiculous. Yeah. It's like, holy shit, the guy like had a neck leather gear. And he got up there, usually, like, my God.
They usually, at least they have been, I've seen it several times this year, they usually release, you know, the fastest players of the match week.
And yeah, he's got to be up there.
Yeah.
We know the guy's fast. But seeing him do that with the ball on his feet, getting past that defender, and then making that, I think he made a cross on that, that almost was, I think it was almost a goal. I'm trying to think which one that was, but seriously, that's what I like to see. This is him doing that is what I want to see. This is like, he's going to be in the starting lineup if he keeps doing that.
Well, you know, and something else about Sangbin, and it, you know, I know he ended up being man of the match, voted on by the players. He was definitely my man of the match. He needs to work on his passing.
Yes.
It's gotten better.
Yes.
But it's not the greatest. But he was doing well. He did well with his aerial duels. In possession, he wasn't losing possession nearly as much. And his recoveries, he had 8 recoveries, which I think is fantastic. He was second on the team behind Rosales. Shocker. Because Joseph was phenomenal there too. I mean, that's big. When you have a player, especially a winger in a 4-3-3 playing that high up and running that much, recoveries are a big deal because you're going to lose possession. It's inevitable. You're not Messi. I mean, hell, even he loses possession. So you're going to lose possession and you're going to have to try to make up for that. And he recovered 8 times. I think I saw it was 66% of his duels, aerial duels, he won. He's
aggressive.
Like him. I really like what he's turning into. And I hope that he continues to develop. He had 2 official dribbles, both were successful. So he had a bunch of progressive touches.
It's fantastic. It's impressive to see, because you know, I tend to forget, you know, how little playing time he really ultimately got last year. He didn't play a whole lot. There was a lot of hype, obviously, but he didn't play a lot. And this year he has played a lot. He's been another, you know, along with Caden Clark. I've been watching too much women's basketball recently. Caden Clark on the other wing, you know, who I mentioned being up and down earlier, but Sangbin as well. I mean, he had been a little bit up and down, showing a lot of promise, and it's nice to hear you guys talking about him that way, you know, man of the match, and you know, it's tremendous, and I think that growth can continue, certainly.
Yeah, he looked good yesterday. Speaking of Caden Clark, we did get him subbed in for Bongi around the 64th minute, so that was good. And then, of course, we had the big subs towards the end of the game here. We had Fragapani come in for Will Trapp. We had Tani come in for Pookie. So that was like, oh, here we go. This is going to be the end of it. And guess what, guys? Tani, once again.
Almost.
Once again, late. This is what I was, you know, calling for, you know, as we were watching the game last week against Philadelphia. You know, I think it was 1-0 into the relatively late into the second half. And that's kind of what I was hoping for is some Tani magic. And that's certainly what we did here
from Robin Wood on the cross. I mean, again, it was, David, you said it was lucky. It was lucky. I mean, the goalie.
What I really meant, and honestly, that was the bourbon whiskey speaking talking. Probably. It was what I really meant was that it was a fitting goal for the game we had played. Like, it just kind of like the cross was good. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Which was fantastic because Lud has been relatively quiet. But it just kind of trickled to the post and then doink in. And it was just so fitting. It was anticlimactic. It was very much, mm-hmm. It could have been grabbed by literally anyone because it rolled slower than my.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And but yeah, I don't think lucky is the right word. I either personally watching the highlights. The footwork from Lude to get that ball in there. I think looking at the replay, I think Lude knew exactly what he wanted to do and did it. I think he got the ball to Tani. It wasn't a deflection. I think he saw Tani there. Whose positioning, Tani's positioning was great, ultimately, obviously, the way it turned out. And you're lucky in the sense that, okay, fine, Tani didn't, put it through the net, but he got just enough on it. So that's where the luck comes into play.
That's, like I said, I really meant just the fact that it was very fitting for the game we had played. Like, it wasn't anything. It was like, holy shit, that actually went in type of thing. Because everything Lud did, I thought was great. And I think everything that Tani did going up to that was great. It's just, it didn't do anything. It just kind of ended up in the goal.
Yeah. He just tapped it in.
Isn't it just remarkable, though, that this is like the fifth goal in what, six games, I think? Six or seven games, the late goals that this club has had to not just, they're not meaningless goals. They are to get a result. They've had a number of those goals. It's crazy. It's nice being on the right side of it, though. It really
is. They're calling the cardiac kids. Seriously.
Yeah.
But they are. So we get that goal, guys. Now we're tied up 1-1. Fantastic. So we got some time left, right? Well,
at a corner.
The refs decided that, we have some more time left, but Joseph Rosales didn't have more time left because he was shown his second yellow, and then it was, of course, a red. And this is the stupidest, and I cannot believe they called a yellow and then, of course, a red on it. This happens on free kicks and corner kicks all the fucking time. The dude flopped. The dude totally flopped.
Oh, yeah.
They're pushing each other. Yeah. And Joseph gives a little shove, and the guy just falls backwards, and the ref's like, oh, yellow card.
There is no doubt he's flopping there, but I will say this. Who is it that flopped? But he, it was great acting. That was one of the better flops you'll ever see. I have no doubt it was a flop, but it looked good. It was a good flop. If there's, there is not, that's an oxymoron because there's not such a thing as a good flop. But
it reminded me of, one of those plays in football where they're going and all of a sudden there's a little scuffle and a 350-pound lineman falls to the ground they flag the guy that made the very last action that they saw. Exactly. Whether or not that person did anything at all, they're the one that gets flagged. And that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah.
And Nelly did everything, and Rosales got penalized for it.
Yeah, but then the problem is, it's just flop or not. I mean, it's a brutal call, Tony, like you said. This happens all the time. Every time. And to get flagged, it was a second yellow. The ref knew that. It just, to me, it seems like a brutal yellow card than red card as a result. Just
bring back the scab refs, damn it. Bring them back.
Yeah.
Exactly. I would guess they're going to appeal this thing. And
I think they will.
My guess is, he will not be suspended. They will say that wasn't technically a foul due to what we saw beforehand.
Because if they call, of course, and this is, of course, what I was talking about earlier in my foreshadowing. If indeed Rosales is suspended. This would be his second red in the young season so far.
Yeah.
If he is indeed suspended, assuming, and it sounds like Tapias is going to be out at least another week or two by, you know, reading, you know, the tea leaves. So now at this point, you assume, but let's assume Rosales for a moment is suspended for a second red. Then that means that Padel Ford would most likely be, you know, in that wing position. And then at this point, I guess it's either, well, it doesn't have to be Victor Erickson. It could be
Burt Bacharach.
I think, though, Bacharach, isn't he, he's technically a six, right? Isn't he?
I don't believe so. I mean, maybe that's where I thought they drafted him.
I thought they drafted him to be a six.
They might have. There might have been some of that talk, or that was part of his skill set. But I mean, I thought they when you're watching the MLS draft, and I was. I mean, I think they announced him as a center back, but maybe they knew he had that potential. He looks like a center. He looks like a center back.
Yeah,
there's no he's doubt a about big, it. Big kid.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. If Erickson doesn't start, he's done.
He's out.
Because he's if they're going to start Bacharach over him, right, he is done.
And
this is like a Vadim Demidov situation just waiting to happen. Yeah. Like, you will see him once, you'll see him make a mistake, and he's done.
Yeah,
because I just can't imagine starting Bacharach over Erickson.
You wouldn't, and that's why. I mean, I'm not. You know, I wish I had credentials, but we don't. And I would. My prediction would be Victor Erickson will get the start, assuming Rosales is out with due to the red card. And
I don't think he'll be out.
If he is, and if Victor Erickson doesn't get the start, then David, you're 100% correct. That's the writing's on the wall there in big bold lettering. There's no doubt about it.
I truly believe this appeal will go through, and we will find out that he is not red carded.
I don't know.
That was a mistake.
I agree. It was a mistake. It was the wrong time to call that. I think that was just really poor. No, the referee knew Rosales was on a red card, and I just think that's really a really poor decision by the ref. But I mean, if you watch the replay again, it was a great flop, and I don't know. If the referee is going to call that, I don't know how he says, and maybe it's not up. It's definitely not up to the referee. It's up to the league, but I don't know. I mean, you could clearly call that a foul if you want. It's not like it wasn't a foul.
I don't even, here's my thing in those situations, right? It's a corner kick. Somebody does that. You come and talk to him. You're like, hey, knock it the fuck off.
Which he did before. Yeah. He did a few times before that. I think my biggest issue is, well, there's two issues. I think one, if you watch the replay of that, he and I went back and replayed it a couple times, and Ali grabs him, and it's really Rosales kind of like trying to shove him off, not necessarily push him. He's just trying to get rid of him because he just grabbed him. But then, two, I think it brings up another discussion of does MLS need to discuss allowing VAR to review second yellows? They can review red cards. So does that mean they need to expand that to review that second yellow? Because I think if VAR looked at that, Dave, you're right. It is a foul, but I think if VAR looked at that, they'd be like, well, Anali technically committed a foul a split second before that by grabbing a hold of Rosales' arm, I think it was, and he baited kind him. Of pulling at him. So
He baited him.
Rosales didn't really do anything because the foul had already been committed. I don't know. I think that there's a broader discussion.
I like that idea. Yeah, I do like that idea. I mean, if it is that yellow card resulted in a red card. So, I mean, I like that idea of expanding that.
Yeah.
So, off the Rosales thing, guys, we're down a man. And we had a chance. They had a chance. Game ended in a draw. It is what it is. We get out of there. Dave wins $255 bucks.
Yeah, I had a I correct me, Tony, do you remember? I believe I predicted a draw.
Pretty sure you did.
I could be wrong. Yeah. It was either a win or draw, obviously. I didn't predict a loss. But yeah, I ended up putting $100 down. And not so much that I want, obviously I didn't want to draw. I wanted the Loons to win, but I looked at the odds. And yeah, I think the Loons were favored in this game. But, you know, a Loons win, I think, was plus 115 or 120, whereas a draw was plus 225. So I'm just playing the odds, playing the money.
Play the odds. Why not?
It worked there. And then I proceeded. It did work out. I won the bet. I cashed in that ticket for $355. And then I proceeded to lose it all at the bracket table.
Of course you did. Good job. Good job, Dave. Good job.
Thanks. Dave. Thanks.
Good job.
So. It was fun for a moment until I lost it.
Until you lost it. So we get out of this game, guys, with a draw. If you look at the standings, we are sitting in fourth place right now, which isn't a bad place to be. Vancouver's up there at 13 points, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
I mean, you look at it, the top of the league is there's a lot of teams looking good.
It's not what we had predicted, so I don't have a problem with fourth. I'm not going to complain.
What surprises me is Seattle down in with 5 points. I mean, Seattle, like, this is ridiculous for them. 5 points in, let's see, they played six games, they have 5 points. That's not Seattle. And the funny thing
but however, Seattle, and I don't think it was a result of the CCC, as they call it now, but Seattle has had a history of starting slow. And so don't count them out yet. We'll see what happens.
Well, I hope they stay slow through the League's Cup because we have them in our bracket. So, I mean, fourth place, I'm not going to complain about that, especially when we thought this team was going to be shitty this year. But, hey, I'll take it.
Still time.
You know, an RSL, you know, there's time. An RSL, we talked about it last week. RSL, you know, they were ahead of us, you know, in the standings last week. They still are technically, I guess, if by goals scored, I'm assuming. And, you know, it was a tough match at home, and credit the Loons for not giving up and getting that late point. So. The schedule starts to get a little easier, because actually, if you look at the schedule, Minnesota, we talked about last week, I mean, Philadelphia, Columbus, I mean, Minnesota has had a pretty as far as, like, if you look at the table last year and who they played to start this year, Minnesota's had a tough schedule by that metric.
This next weekend, guys, Saturday, 7:30 start here at Allianz Field, we get Houston, who we've actually had a really good record against. We have 10 wins, 4 draws, and 6 losses to Houston in our existence.
Played them a lot.
Which seems crazy. We are 3-1-2. Houston is 3-2-1. So we're, you know, probably on the same. We need to come out in this match. We need to, like, it's Allianz Field. We need to, like, kick the doors off and just kick the shit out of Houston. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
These last two games have looked very flat for us. We need to come out and do something special. Hopefully Ray is back from his freaking green card situation. Who knows about what the fuck's going on with that? He might be. Have you checked his Instagram account? Is he posting from jail? That's what's happening.
Does he have an Instagram account? Because if he does, I should start following it. I don't. Yeah. I think I should search for it. I couldn't find it. Although I never use Instagram, so I promise that I'm not doing it right or something.
And this is a problem. And we talked about this on Texas today. It's like, this team isn't dangerous without Ray. Yeah, Ray brings some danger to this team, right?
And
he brings an extra level.
He does. And I totally get it. There is conversation to be had about how does he fit into this squad? And especially if they continue with a 4-3-3, they might not. But if they do, how does he fit into that? I get all that. But there is no doubt. And that's why, you know, 2 weeks ago, I assumed he would be back in the lineup. I didn't realize at the time that he was going to Argentina for his green card issue. But he is, your wording is perfect. He's dangerous. He always has been. And so, yeah, I mean, this team, it does feel like, I mean, credit to their success so far in these first few matches, but it does, his presence seems needed to me. There's just no doubt about it.
With that said,
yeah, I agree with that 100%.
With that said, let's make some predictions about next week's game. David, I'll let you go first since you haven't been on for a couple weeks. Give us your prediction for the Houston game.
You know, Houston has only allowed 6 goals. And that is best in the West. Well, tied for
Vancouver, yeah.
So that, in my opinion, is not great for us. But they also haven't played a lot of games on the road. They've only played 2. So I think I agree with you, Tony. I think we need to kind of if we want to be in the playoff, above the playoff line. In fact, if we want to be in the top 4, we have to play like we're being in the top 4. Play like we belong in the top 4. So I'm going to say we're going to use this game as a stepping stone to that point. 2-1 wins Minnesota.
All right. 2-1. I'm going to go a little better than that, David, because I think we're going to blow the doors off of this damn stadium. We're going to make everybody excited. We're going to make Eric Ramsey excited. We're going to make the Wonderwall excited. We're going to win this game 4-1.
Oh, I love it.
And we're going to come out kicking. Cuz it's going to be a nice
day. Place a bet on nice weather.
Nice yeah, weather. That would be, the payout on that scoreline would be tremendous, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm playing 4-1. I think we get multiple goals. I think we have a good time at Allianz Field. It's going to be great. So, Dave, what do you say?
Yeah, I love your prediction, Tony, but I'm not going to go the same. So what I want to do, I want to predict 2-0, like, you know, a few weeks ago now against LAFC at home, Ramsey's first game. I'm not going to do that, though, because I even if Reynoso comes back this week, I doubt he'll start, you know, just, you know, fitness training, that kind of, from that kind of a standpoint. So I think we're going to see a very similar lineup. Whether if Joseph Rosales is out, I hope you're right again, Tony, with your prediction that his card will be appealed and they'll win that appeal. But I think we're going to see a similar lineup against a stingy David, like you mentioned, Houston team. So I'm going to go, I want to do 2-0, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go say 1-0 victory, however, at home.
You know, Dave, to be fair, Bongi had a poor match, so he'll probably do better next week.
Potentially.
Mm-hmm. He's in, we're talking about inconsistent players. So, yeah.
Maybe that might account for the needed extra goals.
All right. I'm glad that we're all predicting wins. And Tony, I hope you're right. Honestly, I hope they score 4 goals.
I hope
goals
I'm right, too.
That's what I'm rooting for.
I love it. We have no history because Connor's not here. So I have two quick funny stories for you guys. Actually, the first one's not really funny, but it's interesting. The world's oldest man, guys, was just crowned. His name is, he's from England. His name is John Alfred Tinniswood. He's 111 years old.
Holy cow.
And he's been confirmed as a new holder of the title because the death of the former record holder out of Venezuela died, and he was 114. So he was born in Liverpool in 1912, a few months after the sinking of the Titanic. He has lived through 2 world wars, serving the British Army Pay Corps in World War II. He's a retired accountant and a great grandfather. He said the key to living this long is moderation, guys. He never smokes, rarely drinks, and follows no special diet apart from a fish and chips supper once a week. He eats fish and chips once a week. He said, this is his quote. He said, if you drink too much or you eat too much or walk too much, if you do too much of anything, you're going to suffer eventually. He also ultimately said it's pure luck. You either live long or you live short, and you can't do much about that. So there you go. So never smokes, rarely drinks, and eats fish and chips once a week. So if you want to live long, that's what you got to do, I guess.
All right, next podcast, we're not having any beers. We're not drinking.
To what he said, you either live long or you live short. You can't do anything about it. So why would you abstain from something that you enjoy?
Exactly right. That's what I said.
Can't do anything about it. So
that's it.
Can't do anything about it. Good point. Can't do anything about it. Do it up. Have fun. Have a good time. This next story is funny and it's a little bit gross. Airline passenger was fined in Sydney for urinating in a cup. Guys,
oh my god,
he has been fined for urinating in a cup during a delay in deplaning after landing at Sydney Airport. The incident, it was a 3-hour flight from Auckland to Sydney. 53-year-old man was fined $395 for offensive behavior in February. The incident only became public on Friday when New Zealand news website Stuff reported a passenger in the same row, identified only as Holly, said she had reported the behavior to the air crew. She said her and her 15-year-old daughter were sitting in the aisle and middle seats when the man in the window seat, whose name has not been released, was urinating in a cup. Holly said the plane, her name is Holly, said the plane had been on the tarmac for about 20 minutes, waiting for a terminal gate to be allotted, when she heard the unmistakable sound of the passenger urinating in a cup. She said that man was obviously drunk and spilled the urine on a flight attendant as he left the plane.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry. 20 minutes, you're not getting any sympathy from this guy. I mean, 20 minutes is not long enough.
See, that's what I thought, Dave. That's what I thought, Dave. When I first thought it was a delay in the planning, I was like, were they on the plane for like 30 minutes? It was 20 fucking minutes.
I've been on unfortunately, I've been on the tarmac for like 2 hours due to, you know, various circumstances, weather or mechanical. But 20 minutes, that's nothing. That's no excuse there. I hope it wasn't obscene. Like, I hope he like maybe covered himself with a blanket or something, or
right, who knows how he did it. You know, he could have gotten away with it, maybe, if it wasn't a woman and her daughter in the seat neck.
That's brutal. Yeah. It's one thing if it's an empty flight, you know, there's eight people on the flight or something like that. But if you're sitting next to somebody, come on. That's throw that guy.
Dude's 53 too. It's like he's been around the block a couple times, right? They're not really talking about like some 22-year-old dude who's like, whatever.
He's not old enough to be concerned about holding it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, 53, come on. You can hold it for 30, 40 minutes.
Trust me, David. Now, I think I told this on the podcast, and I'll say it again. When I went to Vegas last time for my business trip, I flew back, and there was a bunch of gray hairs on this flight, right? We hit turbulence, and I shit you not, the seatbelt sign came on, and as soon as that came on, every gray hair on the freaking plane wanted to go to the bathroom. And then they're like, okay, you can't go to bed. So the pilot actually had to come on. I've never heard this before. Came on the intercom and said, hey, don't get up right now. We are in turbulence. Don't do it. We have an hour to go till we get to Minneapolis. We're gonna have turbulence the whole way. You should have gone to the bathroom before you got on the damn plane. Don't do it. And these people were still fucking getting up and going to the bathroom. And I understood it because they're all older people.
Yeah, right.
Get that, but I've never seen that on a plane before where it was like a mass exodus to the bathrooms. It was like ridiculous. But 20 minutes on the tarmac. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and I'm not necessarily proud of this, but I speaking of Sydney, I once from LAX to Sydney, that's like a 15-hour or 16-hour flight. I didn't get up out of my seat once. I did not go to the bathroom the entire flight, if you can believe that.
That's like not even healthy.
It's not. And I don't know how I did it, but I did it.
Did you have one of those bags on your leg where you just pee into the bag?
I didn't. And you're right, David. It's not healthy actually to sit that long. Of course, a lot of those hours I was probably sleeping. But yeah, you're right. It's not healthy, but somehow I did it and I'll never forget it. But I have never done it since. I probably won't again. Obviously won't again. But
Jesus.
And that wasn't, this wasn't when I was 20. This was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So.
Man, dude.
I mean, congratulations.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying. 20 minutes. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Of course, I was not drinking. In fact, I made a point of not drinking. You know, I didn't drink enough water, obviously, but I didn't.
I've had to piss since we started this podcast. So I'm
okay. it's funny though. It's like we talk about this. It's like I always think of these problems on planes, right? And I always make sure, like an hour before we land, I always go to the bathroom. Like I'm like, okay, this is the time to go and get shit done before we land, because who knows what's going to happen, you know, whatever. But I've seen numerous people, it's like 15 minutes before the flight's about to land, like get up to go to the bathroom. Like, what are you doing? You know, you had time. This guy obviously didn't have time and he had a problem. So
I know sympathy because 20 minutes is not long enough, but there have been many, many flights where I get on the plane, sit down. I prefer window seats. I just do. Mm-hmm. And so there's been many flights where I sit down in my window seat and the plane hasn't even taken off yet. I'm like, damn it. I already have to go to the bathroom. Shoot. like this is not going to be a good flight.
No, it's like scary. The very last thing I do before I get on the flight.
Yeah. And it should be. It should be for sure.
Like you pee before, like when you're a kid, did you pee before we left for a big trip? Yeah, you did. So we had to stop the fucking restaurant in the middle of South Dakota. You know? Seriously.
Well, at least they don't have to stop the flight every time someone needs to go to
that. No, they don't. Thank God. Yeah, we got to land this flight. Dave's got to take a piss.
Ew.
Damn it.
Son of a bitch. We got to go back. We got to go back. Dave's got to pee. Sorry. All right. There we go, guys. Funny stories for the night. Anything before we get out of here? Nothing.
Covered what we needed to. Yeah.
All right. So once again, thanks to Grand Holler for giving us the intro and outro music. I talked about them in the last podcast in terms of what they got going on. They got a lot of shit going on coming up. So hit up the Grand Holler. Go to their website. I know they released their new single. It's available on, if you go to the website, you'll find it. It's available on the website. And go check out what they're doing the next couple weeks if you live up in the Northland. So myself, Tony, for Dave and David, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Go Loons.
Go Loons.
Seven pounds, hell, that's a mighty big rooster.